There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. We're here. Big Ten Media Days is just a couple days away. It's the unofficial start of the preseason for college football, and we'll have all your coverage for it as TJ Inman joins us, as well as our writer Amanda Pavelka, who will be covering Media Day up in Chicago for us. TJ, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Yes, definitely feels like Big Ten Media Day. You know, it's brutally hot outside, but I'm excited because this is a kind of that marker, if you will, that lets you know college football season is right around the corner.
Yep, and before we start that, just a word from our friends over at SeatGeek. I'd like to take a second and introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot marks a great deal, yellow dot good deals, and red dot not so good deals. Use promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers at the stadium on them. $10 beers. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have tickets. Yeah, it's the unofficial kickoff to the preseason. It's been a long off season for IU. And we'll have one of our own writers, Amanda Pavelka, up there in Chicago. We bring her in now. Amanda, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm so excited, you guys.
Awesome. First time at Media Day. What are you looking forward to the most?
Everything. I don't know. I'm just really excited to be there and be a part of I've only been around basketball, so this is my first football event, and I'm just really excited.
Awesome. It is. I've been up there. This is the first year that I'm not going. I'm out on vacation with my fiance. It's her first vacation in about a year, so I had to miss it. But it's a really fun event. Usually nothing earth-shattering happens. This year there are some bigger storylines in the Big Ten. There's going to be a changing of the guard in the commissioner. It's Commissioner Delaney's last year. And they bring in Kevin Warren from the Minnesota Vikings CEO to come replace Jim Delaney. And Delaney has been there forever. And he's done a lot of good things for the Big Ten, and a lot of people have complained about what he's done, but if you look financially with the Big Ten Network, the money these schools are getting, Jim Delaney has taken the Big Ten to a whole different level, even above the SEC and all of those teams. So it's going to be a definite change of the guard. That's one of the bigger storylines. TJ, let's touch upon that storyline first, since it is it is Commissioner Delaney's last Big Ten Media Days. He's been there since 1989. How do you reflect on his time as Big Ten Commissioner?
I mean, he's certainly within that time frame. He has been one of the more influential people in not just the Big Ten, but college athletics. The things that he has introduced and also the things that he has opposed create an interesting legacy. I mean, you're looking at the creation of the Big Ten Network, obviously has had a gigantic impact on the college athletic landscape and on the revenues of these Big Ten teams. that's a major positive in his kind of in his tally, if you will. Look at the expansion that he has led, adding Penn State. And yes, Jim Delaney was the person responsible for the addition of Penn State as a commissioner. And then more recently, Nebraska, Maryland, and Rutgers. I think two of those schools, Penn State and Nebraska, you would say have been, you know, without question, they seem like they fit. I think Maryland still, while they add a lot to the conference, I do think that certainly it kind of feels like they're still part Big Ten, part ACC school, if you will. And then Rutgers, it has never seemed like a great fit. And they have not, from an athletic standpoint, they haven't really added a ton. And Jim Delaney, I think kind of the thing that he still gets made fun of is calling Rutgers, you know, adding the New York media market, which I don't think has ever really been the case. But still, in a time of transition, there was never any kind of serious debate about schools being poached from the Big Ten. It was always viewed as an attractive destination for people instead of a conference that teams needed or wanted to leave. He also was heavily responsible for the institution of instant replay and the challenge system, if you will. And you can either thank him or blame him for that, depending on your outlook on it. And then he opposed the college football playoff, which I think is, given how successful that has been and how staunchly he was opposed to it, he definitely wanted to keep that BCS. I think that kind of looks like a bad stance in hindsight. So overall, I would say highly successful commissioner for the Big Ten, especially with what the member schools are really, really what they are most concerned about is going to be the bottom line, the revenue, the money. And I think Jim Delaney has been wildly successful in that, right? So new Commissioner Warren, he has I think he's got big shoes to fill.
He does. There are a lot of things that I would like to see change in the Big Ten. One of them is the 9-game conference schedule. I think it needs to go back down to 8. You're just shooting yourself in the foot when it comes to the college football playoff. And talking about the bottom line, missing the college football playoff in each of the last 3 years, it takes money out of the pockets of the Big Ten. And I think they're shooting themselves in the foot by going to 9 games instead of getting a fourth non-conference game, where instead of a guaranteed 7-7, your conference has a chance to go undefeated, or, you know, 13-1 or 12-2. And so on and so forth. But let's get down to IU. We are an IU podcast, so let's get down to IU's media day things. The schedule for Thursday is as follows. At 12:15 Eastern time, Jim Delaney's going to talk. Each of these guys talks. It can get very mundane and boring at times, especially with the Big Ten Network president. And so on. But Tom Allen talks at 1:45 Eastern, 12:45 Central. It'll be on Big Ten Network, so tune into that. Amanda will be there covering it. But there are a lot of stories that are surrounding IU coming into the year. It's the third year of Tom Allen's head coaching tenure. It's back-to-back 5-win seasons. They need to go to a bowl this year. They've lost 2 in a row to Purdue. What is your top storyline heading into Big Ten Media Days surrounding Indiana football, Amanda?
Obviously, the quarterback battle, honestly, is the biggest every year. But also what Kalen DeBoer can do with our offensive, you know, what he's going to do. I mean, he was a big investment, and in seeing what he can, you know, what kind of a difference he can make this year, I think would be my biggest, you know, focus. And then incoming freshmen, just our class this year, and, you know, who's going to be the next Stevie Scott? Who's going to be the standout freshman? and just kind of how they've been doing and going into fall camp, the quarterback battle, and just, you know, with Jack Tuttle becoming immediately eligible, you know, there's going to be a battle between Penix getting healed up and Ramsey, and it'll be interesting.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of storylines. Kalen DeBoer came in after there were a lot of complaints about Mike DeBoer, who is IU's previous offensive coordinator, not being aggressive enough and not being creative enough into getting points and scoring points, and that has held IU back. They made the change at offensive coordinator. They shelled out $800,000 to bring in Kalen DeBoer from Fresno State to turn that offense around. And he has a lot of tools to work for it. Amanda, you mentioned Jack Tuttle, Michael Penix, and Peyton Ramsey. Ramsey's got a ton of starting experience. You know what you have in him, and he's, you know, a rock-solid competitor, but he has some physical limitations. Michael Penix got a taste last year. You could just – when he came in against Penn State, there was a buzz in the atmosphere at that game that even when he threw incomplete passes, there was just some zip on his fastball that Peyton Ramsey misses. And then Jack Tuttle coming in from Utah being immediately eligible. It's going to be a three-man race to start off with. I think it comes down to Tuttle or Penix, and Ramsey's the odd man out. But they're not going to name a starting quarterback this week. It's going to go into fall camp. They got to give Michael Penix a chance to compete for the job at 100%. And then, you know, with the freshman coming in, and Amanda's totally right. Who thought that Stevie Scott would be, you know, the true freshman leader in Indiana history for touchdowns and yards and all of those things when he came in as essentially a third-string running back? He could have played linebacker. He ended up playing running back. And, you know, Morgan Ellison gets suspended and ultimately dismissed from the team, and unfortunately Cole Guest hurts his knee in the opener, and Stevie Scott bursts onto the scene. So it is intriguing who could be that guy at the start of the season, and it's hard to pick because, you know, people saw the potential in Stevie Scott, but it's sometimes the channel to starting it is not there. TJ, what are your top storylines for Big Ten for Indiana during Big Ten media days?
Well, I think both coordinator positions are interesting. I think Amanda's right. Kalen DeBoer, big investment as far as IU football is concerned. The athletic department, that was refreshing to see. Tom Allen set a top target. He knew exactly who he wanted and what he wanted in that offensive coordinator hire. It was an incredibly important hire for Tom Allen to get right, and we certainly feel like he has. We hope that he has. Kalen DeBoer is obviously of huge interest. And then, you know, that defensive coordinator position is also interesting, as Tom Allen, certainly a defensive-minded coach, electing to turn those play-calling duties. He'll still be involved for sure, but electing to turn those play-calling duties over to Kane Womack, a rising star in the defensive ranks. Elevating him to defensive coordinator, and you know, Tom Allen taking more of a, you know, whole program approach to things. So it'll be interesting to hear Tom Allen talk about that decision some more, talk about the positives behind that, and be able to get some of those quotes. I think that will be very interesting. And then, you know, the players talking, that's definitely an interesting part of this as well. Most schools sending three players, a couple sending four. Indiana sending Nick Westbrook and Coy Kronk as representatives of the offense, and Raekwon Jones from the defense. So, you know, I would expect to hear some interesting things from Westbrook, maybe regarding the quarterbacks and the new offense, and then Coy Kronk regarding that. And then a big story for me, which this won't be solved in media day, it won't be solved in fall camp. It'll have to be solved during the season, but it seems like every year, you know, recently we are waiting to see if Indiana can turn those close losses that are decided by either that lack of depth in the fourth quarter against the big boys, or, you know, just those one or two critical plays or ball bounces of the ball, turning those close losses into wins. How does Indiana get over that hump? And that's a perpetual problem for this program, and it has to be solved. The schedule presents a lot of opportunities for that to happen this year, and it can go one way or the other. It can be, you know, another close but no cigar situation, or Indiana can figure out how to get that done. We feel like the depth is improving. We feel like the talent level overall from those ones down to the threes is getting better, and the recruiting rankings back that up. The play on the field backs that up sometimes, but it needs to consistently back it up, and we need to see those close losses, at least a couple of them, turn into wins. So hearing the players talk about how they plan on getting that done for the guys that are there in their senior years, I think that's going to be very interesting as well.
Yeah, and to touch on that point, my big thing this year is what kind of sense of urgency is IU going to show? It seems like the last couple years that IU football has kind of laid in the weeds, you know, punted on fourth and one in some spots where they could have gone for it, settled for field goals where they could have gone for touchdowns, and things like that. What kind of sense of urgency does Tom Allen bring to this season that hasn't shown in past seasons? This is not the season to mess around. It's a very difficult schedule conference wise. You should have no problem in the non-conference. You should beat Rutgers at home. The season's gonna swing on this Maryland game, and is this team gonna realize that, hey, our season can be determined in October, in middle of October, not just the last day of the regular season up at Purdue, which it might come down to Purdue again. But are they going to say, hey, this is our bowl game's on the line here in October every week of the season? Or is it going to be, will it take that gut-wrenching loss like it did against Minnesota last year to realize, oh, hey, this is what's at line. This is what's on the line. And that's going to go – I want to see how that affects the quarterback decision. Are you going to play it safe and start Peyton Ramsey to start the year? Or are you going to take a chance and put one of these young guys in who needs the game reps against opponents that they should beat? Ball State, Eastern Illinois, and UConn, they should beat those. They might struggle a little bit, but even with struggles, they should be able to beat – this team should be able to beat those teams while getting these young quarterbacks the important reps. And you look at it, people say, oh, they haven't had the game reps. Well, they should have started Penix last year. And I said that in fall camp, and I'm going to stick to my gut. They should have started Michael Penix last year. He was clearly the most physically gifted quarterback on the roster, and they went with Peyton Ramsey, and Ramsey's a heck of a competitor. He's a heck of a teammate, and he does have some tools. He could run, he could throw a little bit, but Michael Penix is the better quarterback, in my opinion, at that time. And we'll see what happens in fall camp. That sense of urgency needs to come through. All this talk about finishing and breakthrough and grit, you got to show it to me. It might be tough to show it at media days, but you got to show it to me at some point early in the season, during a game, or sometime during fall camp, where you know what, guys, we're not good enough to punt on fourth and one inside, you know, on the opponent's side of the field. They had a chance against Purdue last year. I think they crossed the 50 seven times in the first half and came away with one touchdown. It's just at some point you got to be aggressive, and this is the year that you have to be aggressive. You got a fan base who is getting impatient. You've made the switch at offensive coordinator. You put down the investment at offensive coordinator. You finish the stadium. And it's time to look. If IU goes 5-7 and it's because they lost the game going for it on 4th-and-1 at their opponent's 35 when they needed a touchdown to win, whatever, man. I'll take it. I can't live with you punting there. That's the thing. If they're aggressive and go 5-7, I could swallow that pill a lot better than them being passive and finishing 5-7 and with a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And so that's my thing, and it's going to be hard to really pick up on it at media day, but that's something that I would ask is what kind of sense of urgency does Tom Allen have? What kind of sense of urgency does these players have, these seniors who are on their last hurrah, have to make this season count and not just wait for that, you know, the last 2 years that they were 3-6 and then, you know, 5-6 going into Purdue that we'll call it the oh crap moment. You can't wait for that oh crap moment. That oh crap moment has to happen in fall camp. Say, this isn't good enough. This isn't good enough to get us to the next level. And it shouldn't take a loss to Maryland or Minnesota or, you know, whatever that classic IU football loss is to realize that you're not going to the place you need to be going. Amanda, being a first timer at Media Day, what stories surrounding the Big Ten and IU on a national level are you interested to getting quotes about? Did we lose Amanda?
Oh, no, I'm here. Sorry, Sammy. I was just going to say, while we were backtrack to the young guys, you know, we've been hearing about these guys for a couple of years. They were young, Tom Allen's first year, and, you know, they've been young for 2 years. They're not young anymore. So I'm hoping to see, you know, some of these juniors step up and, you know, after the heartbreaker, Purdue last year, you asked about the urgency going into that game, you know, and Coach Allen talked about, you know, their urgency going into that game and how these young guys have the potential. And, you know, hopefully I just want to see that this year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That going in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One question regarding, you know, other programs, everybody obviously is going to be at the media day. As you kind of peruse through the coaches and, other player representatives that are going to be there, is there anybody that stands out to you as someone you're interested in hearing talk in person or having any type of interaction with player-wise or coach-wise here this year?
Probably Ohio State. Their coaching situation over there would be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
With their new coaching staff and Urban Meyer and that fallout.
Yep. Sammy, was Ryan Day, and I don't remember this, was he at Big Ten Media Day at all last year? I know Urban Meyer was, but was Ryan Day at Big Ten Media Day at all?
I don't think so. Usually the coordinators don't go. And all the stuff with Zach Smith kind of blew up at Media Day. It's definitely going to be it's definitely that atmosphere surrounding Ohio State. I wish Amanda could have been there last year so that she could compare what it's like surrounding Ohio State. But it was, you know, everybody was waiting for Urban Meyer to say something. He didn't really say anything or anything much, and it was just like a ticking time bomb, and you left unsatisfied. And then coming I think Ohio State has had a good offseason. It's been a quiet offseason for Ohio State. There hasn't been off-the-field stuff. You know, Urban Meyer's doing his own thing, but I don't count him as Ohio State anymore. And Jack Smith, I think, got arrested again, but he's not at Ohio State. So they're kind of going under the radar. Everybody's talking about Michigan. So, yeah, Ryan Day is – they didn't do a national search. It was always going to be Ryan Day. And there's not – like, there hasn't been much chatter about it. So it's going to be interesting to see how much buzz Ohio State comes in. It's probably the first time in a long time that – you know, the national media is kind of taking them as an underdog. And I'd love to see their attitude coming in as they're no longer, you know, the media favorite to win the Big Ten. I totally disagree with that. You know, until somebody beats them, they're always going to be the favorite.
Yeah.
You know, I know you say the same thing, TJ. Michigan, it's time to put up or shut up. There's been a lot of talk about Michigan. There's always talk. Shea Patterson was on Twitter, fake Twitter, whatever, and they had that. But, you know, I think the atmosphere surrounding Michigan and Ohio State is going to be really interesting. And that's something that, Amanda, if you could just get a buzz about it, it's going to be impossible to talk to those two guys because there are 8,000 media that go to those two guys, and if you're not there at the exact moment they hit the podium, it's, you know, you're standing a mile away. But it's, you know, to me, it's Ohio State's laying in the weeds, and I think they're exactly where they want to be. It's under the radar. They have a super talented team, and, you know, people talk about Ryan Day. He's not as big of a figure as Urban Meyer. I don't think anybody is. And there's really no controversy surrounding Ohio State this year with Urban Meyer out. So that'll be really interesting how they handle that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the only two people perhaps that will rival Harbaugh and Day for attention would be Adrian Martinez and Scott Frost for Nebraska. Martinez, one of the few quarterbacks going to be in attendance, and Scott Frost, obviously head coach in Nebraska. Ton of hype surrounding the Huskers. I happen to think that they are going to be pretty darn good, but in terms of, you know, I've seen some that are, you know, projecting a Big Ten West championship and, you know, contending for the Big Ten title overall. I think they're still a year away from that. But I do think that the hype surrounding Scott Frost is certainly interesting. And he's an engaging figure, and I think a guy that a lot of people are looking forward to seeing what he has to say about his squad, the program, at Big Ten Media Day. He's not backing down. Wisely so, from what he believes Nebraska is capable of. He thinks it's an elite program, and he's not backing down from those expectations. He expects for them to be not just competing for Big Ten titles, but to be up there with Nebraska, with Michigan and Ohio State at the top of the Big Ten. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see kind of how Scott Frost and how Martinez approach things. Like I said, Martinez, one of the few quarterbacks that's in attendance. I think Nate Stanley is there for Iowa, and that might be it in terms of quarterbacks. But that's not all that odd. You do get a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of defensive linemen that tend to represent their teams. But you're looking at mostly seniors and a lot of very well-spoken, very intelligent guys that I think do their school's proud. So that's a cool part of it as well, is to kind of just see those players off the field, kind of hear them talk some and gain that respect for them as well.
Yeah, only having two quarterbacks is kind of insane. It's Nate Stanley and Adrian Martinez, as you said. It's really weird to me, especially with a group of upperclassmen at quarterback as well. It's kind of understandable. You know, Justin Fields is new. new to the Big Ten, he probably a lot of times this is a big honor for guys, for seniors to come, and maybe Justin Fields hasn't earned that yet, and maybe some of the other guys really haven't settled their quarterback situations yet, but those two, Stanley and Adrian Martinez, are pretty cemented in there. To go on expectations, there's a lot of buzz about Nebraska, but people are forgetting that, Purdue has a lot coming back. They have to rework their offensive line, but they have an All-American on offense and defense. Iowa has Nate Stanley coming back and playing well. You have Minnesota, who came on late last year. You had Wisconsin, who had a down year, and people are writing Wisconsin off, but they have Jonathan Taylor, who's, going for 6,000 career yards in 3 years, which is kind of unbelievable, and things like that. And Northwestern won the division last year, and they bring in, Patty Fisher's back at linebacker. I know he's one of your favorite players, TJ, and they bring in Hunter Johnson from Clemson, who's a former five-star guy.
Mm-hmm.
Replace Clayton Thorson. So I think, the buzz surrounding Nebraska, while it's nice and you kind of want Nebraska to be good as a Big Ten fan because they're that brand name to go with Ohio State and Michigan, and they could probably challenge them. But it's you're putting the cart before the horse. They're coming off a 4-win year, and it's a little too early to talk about that, but I think it's a wide-open year in the Big Ten. I think that's going to be one of the storylines as the conference on the field to talk about. For years it seemed it was just Wisconsin and Ohio State, and now you have, Michigan might overtake Ohio State, and the West is wide open. And it's going to be really interesting how coaches handle some of these expectations, handle the questions on these expectations, and things like that. There's going to be a lot of coaches saying stuff without saying anything. And so we'll see what comes through and all of that. But as far as IU players coming with Coy Cronk, Raekwon Jones, and Nick Westbrook, I don't think that they could have picked three better representatives for the university. And I'm excited to hear what they have to say. Amanda, what's one question that you want to ask each of these players while you're there up in Chicago?
I think a lot of questions around the quarterback battle and just how the quarterbacks are playing, how the freshmen are playing. I have questions about, Samson James, Sio Nofo-Ango-Totoa. Did I say it right?
I have no idea.
A lot of
pretty good.
Questions about the quarterbacks and how the new coordinators, how things are going with that. How with losing, our upperclassmen, how they feel going into the season and how things are going to play out.
There's a lot of, they lost a lot of leaders last year and the year before. And you're one of the big questions I have with recruiting out of state so much is do these players get the passion, especially the younger players, of these Big Ten rivalries? Do they understand, what the Oaken Bucket means to Indiana, what it means to go to Michigan State, what it means to, take on Ohio State and Michigan, two teams you haven't beaten since the 80s, or play at Penn State where you haven't won at all? Do they understand, and it's not their fault that they don't. It's growing up out of the state that you don't really get the IU football culture, and that's on the coaches to indoctrinate them in that culture. So, you know, I want to see how much passion these young guys play for IU. Now, they're going to play passionately for Coach Allen, but when it comes down to it in the trenches and late in games, TJ, as you spoke to, you know, are you going to get that extra adrenaline rush because you're, you know, taking on Ball State and, you know, you don't really know the history that Ball State won three in a row and how much, you know, that just taking back dominance in that series means to saving face for Indiana football or late in the bucket game. You know, if you fall down by too much, are you going to walk off the field or, you know, at the beginning of the game? Purdue should never be more fired up than you. So that's what I want to look for in these young guys. Amanda, enjoy your time up at Media Days. It's going to be a blast. For all of you who don't follow her at Amanda Pavelka on Twitter, she'll be running the Hoosier Huddle Twitter as well. So follow her for all your updates. Enjoy your first experience up there, Amanda.
Thank you, Sammy. Thank you. I absolutely will.
All right. That's Amanda Pavelka with Hoosier Huddle. TJ, final thoughts before we wrap up.
Yeah, I think Amanda's going to have a great time. She'll do a great job there. Looking forward to her coverage. We will certainly, you know, whatever comes out of Big Ten Media Day, we will provide content on that. And really after that, we start ramping into legitimate 2019 season preview stuff. You're going to look at, you know, opponent position previews, obviously. We'll get into Indiana position previews. And opponent previews have been going on throughout the summer as well. Our countdown continues. You know, really, we have continued to provide what I hope is just really enjoyable content for everybody. And for me, Big Ten Media Day is kind of, well, we've been paying attention all along. It's kind of the time when a lot of the people that have checked out for a while, which is totally understandable, not a lot's happened, the people that have checked out for a while, time to check back in, get up to date on what's happening. College football season will be here before we know it, and that is a blessing.
Yeah, college football season is about 7-6 weeks away with week zero, 6 weeks from last Saturday. And I always enjoy Media Day. Not a lot of news happens, but you get to – it's like getting it's like the first day of school with your friends. The gang's back together. There's excitement in the air. Everybody wants to talk about their teams. And you see people you haven't seen since last year. And it's really cool event going up there and seeing people. I hope there's news to report, and hopefully it's good news. But it's an exciting time to be a football fan. It's all the big major conferences are starting to kick off. And before you know it, IU will be kicking off against Ball State on August 31st at Lucas Oil Stadium. And the season will be underway and then over before you blink an eye in November. So I love this time of year. It brings our team together at Hoosier Huddle. We live and die and ride the roller coaster during games as well on our group text message. And we're with you in it. We want to bring you all the IU football news that you can handle through the good and the bad. But the 2019 season is here. Again, Big Ten Media Day is on Thursday and Friday this week. Indiana's head coach Tom Allen will be going on Thursday at 1:45 in the afternoon Eastern time. That's 12:45 in the Central. Tune in. It'll be on BTN. They do a great job covering it on TV. ESPN does it as well, I believe. And Amanda will have you all covered from up there. TJ, your Media Day Primer is coming out as well tomorrow, and we enjoy the feedback, and if there's stuff that you want us to talk about, please send it so we could talk about it on future podcasts. Well, TJ, thanks for joining me. That does it for today's podcast, and we'll be back next week to break down the Big 12 and Pac-12.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.